Michael Smirkanish. Welcome back to the program. My friend and former law professor, animal rights activist Gary Francione, is in the On Deck Circle. He will not like a story in the Chicago Tribune today. And I remember watching this years ago. Headline, Donkey Basketball Endures Despite Some Protests. It's a Monday night in this small central Iowa farm town, and the high school gym is full. There's a buzz in the air. Before long, the Stars amble in from a side door on all fours. Donkey basketball is alive and well in rural America. You guys ever watch donkey basketball?
No, I'm not even really sure what it is. Is it like horse?
Just as the name implies. No. You're not playing horse.
Donkey, not donkey, with an O, right? Yes, donkey, not donkey. Well, just so people know donkey. What you're talking about. You're not talking about dunking.
See, everybody knows what I'm talking about except you.
Yes.
Donkey. The donkey.
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 Oh, my Lord.
You're saying it like Shrek says it. Donkey. Everybody knows what this is. It's a donkey. Dare I say the word of the week? We're talking about asses.
Yes, exactly.
Invented in the 1930s, the sport where humans mount the beasts of burden and shoot hoops was seen as affordable Depression-era entertainment. I didn't know that their roots were so rich. The game morphed through the years into a popular fundraising vehicle for schools and other organizations. That's how I saw it.
Yeah.
Animal rights groups cried foul. They contend the donkeys, are mistreated by participants and handlers, pressured by organizations such as PETA. Some school districts have canceled individual donkey basketball events, and others have banned the spectacles altogether. Donkey ball proved to be a popular draw in Moravia, Iowa. The town's population is 680. There were 600 in the gym.
Wow. That is so great.
Crazy.
Great? It's appalling.
Yes.
Wait until Gary is here to tell you why.
That's true.
They play it 4-on-4, usually with local celebrities, school faculty, or members of student organizations making up team. You know what, by the way, maybe the donkeys enjoy this.
If he weren't on hold, would you think it was appalling?
I didn't know he was on hold.
You think the donkeys enjoy being like, you know.
They put rubber shoes on them.
They do not. You are lying now. You are lying.
All right, let me get Gary in here. Hey, Professor.
Hi.
How are you, buddy?
Very well, Michael. How are you?
Gary Francione is the Distinguished Professor of Law and Nicholas Katzenbach Scholar of Law and Philosophy at Rutgers University Law School, and we're thrilled to have him back on the program. Hey, you're aware of donkey basketball, right?
Sure.
Is it possible the donkeys enjoy it?
Well, no, Michael, they don't enjoy it. I mean, look, I think we've got to put this in perspective. When you ask, as I'm sure you're going to ask me, do I think this is a morally acceptable thing? The answer is no. But the reason, I mean, I think in a sense we can't take it out of perspective. The problem is we eat animals. That's the problem. And because we're killing 53 billion a year every year, annually, not including fish, just because they taste good. Looking at something like donkey basketball seems almost trivial because the amount of suffering and death that we tolerate for no better reason than that the animals taste good, it sort of puts in context the question, do you think we can morally justify donkey basketball?
Well, I'm going to talk about swine flu and your thoughts because that's why you're here, but I couldn't help mention this because it's in the Chicago Tribune today that, you know, donkey basketball is still alive and well. And I remember from our prior conversations, it's all about, you know, feeling pain in your analyses. And I'm thinking maybe the donkeys don't feel pain.
Well, it's not just a question of feeling pain. It's a question of suffering and distress. So it's not just a question of acute pain. It's a question of whether or not the animals feel distress and whether they suffer. So, you know, and I think that the donkey basketball as an activity, you can't look at it in isolation. It's a question of how the donkeys are raised, where they're kept, how they're treated when they're not on the basketball court, how they're treated, what happens when they are on the basketball court, the fact that they are frightened, the fact that they are distressed. It's like a rodeo situation.
Yeah.
Whether or not the animal's feeling acute pain at any particular point, and I'm sure that they do, they certainly are suffering, they're certainly frightened, they are certainly experiencing distress. And remember something, we all accept, as I mean, I'm sure that you know, neither you nor anyone else would dispute the notion that it's wrong to inflict unnecessary suffering on animals. And the question becomes, how can we justify the infliction of suffering in donkey basketball rodeos or any of the other forms of entertainment that we use animals for, when our best justification is we enjoy it, it's entertainment. It, by definition, that's not necessary. So if we take ourselves, if we take our moral notion seriously that it's wrong to inflict unnecessary suffering on animals, we ought to put that into practice.
And relative to swine flu, you say the issue here is not humane treatment of the pigs, because, you know, a lot of people are saying, well, the hog wastes are apparently being dumped into local lagoons. And you write, even if the confinement conditions in the plant itself were made more humane, it would not solve the sewage problem. And let's be big picture focused. It's all about treatment of animals.
Well, look, there are a couple of issues here. There are some people who are saying the problem and the reason why we have swine flu is because we have intensive confinement of these animals. Now, I have no doubt that the intensive confinement conditions facilitate the development of things like swine flu. But the reality, Michael, is we have had these sorts of diseases ever since we started living in close proximity with animals, ever since we as humans, we stopped going out and killing them in the woods, and we started bringing them in and domesticating them and started living close to them, we have had all sorts of illnesses. And there's really very little doubt that this is the origin of these things. And so, I mean, you know, for example, not only have we had, you know, swine flu and bird flu from living close to domesticated animals that we eat, but we've gotten smallpox from cattle, we've gotten tuberculosis from cattle, we've gotten flu from the pigs and ducks, we've gotten, you know, I mean, we've gotten all sorts of illnesses from living with domesticated animals in close proximity.
I have to tell you, Gary, you're having an impact on me. I am still a carnivore. I am less a carnivore since you have been on the radio program and since you were my torts professor at Penn. I eat more fish than I do meat. My wife will ridicule me because I will go for the ladies' cut of a filet mignon if I'm getting a meat cut at all. And I think in large part it's because I have this, like, you're a voice in my head now that I can't shake.
Well, no.
I look at a menu and I'm thinking, Gary, what if Gary were here?
Michael, you're your own voice sitting on your shoulder. I have known you for a long time. I still remember you fondly when you were my student at the University of Pennsylvania many years
ago. When I was trying to hide in the last row with Jonathan Newman?
Actually, Michael, as I recall, you sat like in the second or third row from the front. But
don't blow my rap, Gar.
But you're a thoughtful person, and what you're experiencing is the moral schizophrenia that we all experience.
Moral schizophrenia.
It truly
I don't know how I can love my dogs and then eat a burger.
Exactly. There is no difference between the animal you love and the animal you stick a fork into. And with the swine flu thing, you know, frequently when I'm talking about the issue of animal ethics and the fact that we should be vegan and should not be consuming animals at all, people say to me, but isn't it natural to eat animals? And the answer is, no, it is not natural. First of all, I don't even know what natural means. But to the extent that that question is, isn't it required for us to eat animals to be healthy? The answer is absolutely not. Even mainstream healthcare people are saying that animal products are contributing to the development of all sorts of diseases.
Gary, do you get bored with your diet?
As a vegan? Absolutely not, Michael.
You don't?
Absolutely not. No. I mean, I love cooking. I love cooking, and I make a lot of, for example, I love Indian food, and I make a great deal of Indian food. And it's very, very easy to make Indian food completely vegan. Absolutely. I mean, the only thing, I mean, it's absolutely simple. And so I make a lot of Indian food, and it's very spicy, and it's delicious, and I love it.
May I ask you a question about one other headline before I have to leave you?
Sure.
The Kentucky Derby. Everybody is looking at this and saying, you know, holy smokes, a 50-1 shot. When you look at the Kentucky Derby, you see what?
I see the horror of horse racing. The horse racing industry results in horrible suffering, a lot of death. It's absolutely terrible. And people love horses, and people are horrified when they find out that there are slaughterhouses that butcher horses and send the meat abroad or process it into pet food and things like that. But the bottom line is anybody who supports horse racing is supporting an institution of incredible suffering.
How about somebody who just enjoys riding? Because if you say that's all right, then I'm going back to donkey basketball, because that's riding.
No, look, I don't think we should be breeding horses and selling horses and breaking horses and things like that. I have friends who have rescued horses, and they will ride them, but these are horses that are already accustomed to being ridden, and they don't use bits. And they don't use any sort of domination tactics to control the horses and things like that. But as far as breeding more horses and bringing them into existence so that people can have the fun of riding horses and breaking horses, the answer is no, we shouldn't be doing that. So you know, I mean, it's like, look, Michael, it's like my view about dogs. I have four dogs. They're rescue dogs. If it were up to me, if there were two dogs left on the planet and it were up to me whether we continued to breed them so people could have pets, the answer would be absolutely not. Even though I love my dogs and you love your dogs, the reality is we're a small part of the population. The dogs and cats worldwide get a really raw deal and are treated very horribly.
Hey, Gary, I always enjoy having you here. Professor Gary Francione, remind me of the title of your most recent book.
Animals as Persons, Essays on the Abolition of Animal Exploitation, but I've got a new one coming out in the fall. Columbia University Press is going to be publishing The Animal Rights Debate, Abolition versus Regulation. It's going to be a debate book where I will be debating Professor Robert Garner from the University of Leicester.
Oh, you both have to come in here. You must come in here.
Is that a promise?
Definitely. I can't wait. I would love that. That would be a lot of fun.
We'll have fun, Michael.
All right. Thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
877-434-1776. I'm Michael Smirkanish. Back in a moment. That's another thing. At some of the book signings, Greg, they've asked you to turn down the music.
Turn down the music.
Turn down the music.
This is so good.
You'll hear tonight. You'll hear in Wilmington. It'll become a town hall on the morning show. I kid you not.
Oh, no.
Let me get some quick calls on Gary Francione because a lot of people want in. This is Tim. Hey, Tim, welcome, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think your guest gave some incorrect information. From what I understand, vitamin B12 is an essential vitamin that your body cannot make on its own.
Right.
And you can only get vitamin B12 from animal products. So milk, eggs, fish, meat is the only way you can get vitamin B12.
You mean when he said, you know, you don't need to have meat in your diet?
Right.
I just wondered if you get bored in it. I mean, you know, you can eat a lot of pasta. I could eat pasta every night of the week, but at some point I want some lasagna and I want some meatballs, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, every once in a while I want a steak too, so.
Gary's the real, I mean, I respect, he walks the walk and he talks the talk. On that, I can assure you. This is Bill. Hey, Bill, go ahead, sir.
I almost choked on my sausage, egg, and cheese.
Sausage, egg, and cheese.
If he had his way, Michael, you wouldn't be allowed to have dogs. What would you feed him?
When he comes in, I always find myself hiding my shoes under the console. It's truly. When Gary comes in, I take off my belt, I leave it in my office, and I hide my shoes under the console. I'll tell you this. He's a very bright guy, and he was an excellent law professor for me. Excellent. And I did not sit in the second row. This is Sarah. Sarah, go ahead and thank you for the call.
Hi, Michael. I'm in the horse industry. And, you know, we have checks and balances within the industry, both standardbred and thoroughbred. He clearly has never had an intimate relationship with a horse or he wouldn't be feuding some of the stuff that he is. It's really frustrating that these people have a forum because they don't have the experience, nor have they bothered to really investigate the industry. If they did, they would know that they're standardbred rescues, and all they do is help those horses who are no longer racing find permanent homes.
How about donkey basketball? Can you defend that or not really?
As long as you're not injuring the animal, you know, and or if they get injured, you take care of them. If the donkey wants to do it, you know, whatever.
That was my question. How do we know the donkeys don't like playing basketball?
It's the argument of, well, horses, you know, they don't want to race.
You stretch your legs, you put on a pair of Chuck Taylor high tops, you're good to go.